Welcome back, everyone. Going into the third hour here of Bounce Power Dark Side. Adam, what's going on?
So we come in on a wide shot of the palace. Now it's I guess it's later. It's maybe it's a full day later, right? Because you're waiting Otto to feel better. You're chilling in your back to tank.
Well, I want to get there at this. I want to get there before the full day happens because I'm supposed to meet the rebels.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so that's the thing. Like, you have your rebel guys. You can tell me where you are, but it's like some time later.
No, I mean, I want to go back without them and talk to Theron before. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. So I guess let's work that out. So what did you tell them? Were you like, go and wait?
No, I told them somewhere. To meet me at the upper city gates exactly a day later.
Right. Okay, cool. All right. So so we can have it happen like partway through the day rather than like a full day later. Cause you'll definitely have the time to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess, was there any immediate stuff? Cause it seemed like you guys were just waiting for Alana to get back.
Yeah, that's all. We're just waiting to see what the reaction was.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. So, Lana, to get back into the palace, you have to go through, maybe you're in this scene that we see. So we get the establishing shot of the palace and, a crowd has formed around the palace gate. And they're holding, we see them as we pan across and they're all holding like, you know, they're holding signs that say, like, you know, factory 49, never forget, 700 dead. Someone's building a sign that says factory 49. It was an inside job.
Someone's saying steel beams do melt.
Yeah. Rocket launchers do melt steel beams.
And so there's a crowd of maybe like 100 or so people that are starting to like build up around the gates. Now the stormtroopers and the palace the guard are kind of like keeping them back, but there are a lot of them. And so you have to kind of like make your way through this crowd and then
I kind of want to go around like a secret way though. I don't want to go through a crowd because I don't want to be spotted.
Okay. Do you want to give me a destiny point for there to be a secret way in?
I don't think there is a secret way in, right? It's a fortress.
I mean, you can spend a destiny point and have discovered one.
I don't really want to waste.
No, I won't. I'll just try. Can I just try to be stealthy?
Yes. Yeah. You can make a roll for sure. So in this case, it's a big crowd. I'm going to say difficulty 3.
Okay.
So yeah, 3 purple dice and it's
good luck.
Would that make it easier the bigger the crowd is?
What's that?
Would that technically make it easier the bigger the crowd is?
No, because she doesn't want to be noticed by anyone like in particular. And there's lots of eyes, basically. There isn't anyone looking for her specifically, but it's just this will be like if anyone remembers that you were there.
Well, I'm definitely going to like pull my mask up and my hood up and everything.
Yeah, they wouldn't be like, oh, Lana Jory was there. They might be like, oh, this woman wearing this with a mask. You know, I recognize her if anybody asks her later.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so it's difficult to be unnoticed, but yeah.
I'm going to try and at least just disguise myself as much as possible. I'm going to put my goggles down so it covers my eyes since I have a blue and green eye.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think we can agree even if you fail, it won't be you specifically. It'll just be like a strangely dressed woman.
Okay. So I roll stealth, right?
Yes.
Stealth it up. Yep. God, okay. That sucks.
So you nudge somebody or like push your way through and somebody like is like, whoa, hey, watch it. And like they get a good look at you, but they don't recognize like who you are. And then you push through the crowd and one of the stormtroopers, I think TK161's like waiting at the gate. He came to check on everybody. He like reaches out and he's like to the crowd. He's like, all right, get out of the way. Move it. And he like hits somebody with his rifle. He's like, peasants. And he like grabs you and pulls you up out of the crowd and he's like, sorry ma'am, this is getting out of control, and he escorts you through the gate into the inside garden, and then you're like suddenly like free of the crowd.
Okay. Yeah, I walk in and immediately try to locate Theron.
Okay. So you head down towards the palace, and I think we wipe to you and Theron and Belsa in one of the rooms.
As soon as I walk in, I wait to get his attention. I just say, "Sir, I have an update on Greenskin.
Theron turns around and smiling is like, let me guess, they want me dead.
And I a smile like forms. I like pull my mask down. There's just a smile. And I'm like, yeah. They want personally me to kill you, actually. And I like kind of unsheath my or pull out my vibro sword. And I'm like, and with this. And I put it back.
Theron has like the slyest of grins, but sort like stands up and looks at her and says, like, you would love to do that, wouldn't you? But we both know that won't happen.
And I look at him, I'm like, have you made the call today? I've done my job.
Theron just sort of looks at the console and then back at her. And doesn't nod or say anything. He just acknowledges that that's a thing he probably should do at some point.
Oh, no.
I just kind of like look away for a moment. And I say, well, I have two people coming to meet me. Both are part of this guy's group. Rebels, one girl, one guy. I have their information. I'm meeting them tomorrow. Or is it today? I don't know.
Yeah, Adam said later today.
Meeting
well, it's like 20. Today. Well, you said 24 hours or whatever. Yeah. So, whatever.
Theron looks over at Belsa and sort of just like strokes his chin. He's like, "What do we do to make these rebels look worse than us?" How Belsa do
kinda, like puts her hands behind her back and like walks over to one of the windows?
I sort of like interrupt and I say, "Sir, that's going to be hard."
Yes. It's what is worse than killing a young woman in cold blood? And he sort of just looks at Belsa, expecting that she would have the same idea.
She just says, the boy, of course.
The young
convoy ambush?
The young son of a moth murdered by the rebels. My, those picketers would certainly be angry at that.
You just see, like, my face just go white, and I'm like, sir, there's not anything else you could do? Nothing? We have to kill the boy?
Otto calls in, he's like, I'll kill Kim! Oh, you want me to kill Kim?
We just suddenly made me pan over to the back of him, like little bubbles come out of Otto's
No, we say we must kill the kid. His eyes open like a fucking
terminator. He's like fully healed.
My people need me.
What? If you have alternate solutions, Lana, I'd love to hear them.
I wouldn't.
Damn.
I don't even look at Elsa.
We're going to stage a convoy ambush. And the moth's son is going to die.
Sir, what if we made it look like the masses
and show them just how monstrous these rebels are?
How do we make it look like he died, Lana?
A bombing. Why not a bombing? He could be in the blast, but not really. We take him with us.
Take him with us where?
Back to Imperial, wherever we go. Wherever we go after this, sir.
This is the Empire, my dear. That is the problem you've had from the beginning.
Theron, if I may.
Go on.
Taking the boy to our Imperial vessel to get him off the planet for his own safety. We are attacked in convoy, and the poor boy is killed.
Theron turns to Lana and has like this like wicked grin. He's like, well, dear, it is a lovely idea. Convoy, escorting the boy off the planet. Let's play a game. I'll put the boy in one of three vehicles. We'll give you the location, and you and your allies may strike at them. We'll say I'll be in one. And Should you destroy the wrong one, the boy dies. Should you destroy the right one, the boy lives, makes it off world, has an amazing story to tell about that time he survived a rebel attack. What say you?
I sort of, I cross my arms and I look at you and I'm just, sir, what if I attack yours?
Well, it's what you want, isn't it?
I don't answer. I just have, like, just no expression whatsoever.
A little puppet that looks like Jigsaw, and he's like, let's play a game.
Damn, Jesse. And I say this as a person whose, like, main D&D character, like, literally eats people. You are evil. You are evil as fuck, my friend.
I think Bells is looking out the window, and she just says under her breath, dead men can't make phone calls, Lana.
Yeah, so I say, that's what we'll do. Convoy, three ships. I'll be in one, the boy in another, and, well, troopers in the third. And I just sort of, like, give a little laugh and turn around and start making phone calls to set up a convoy to get the boy off the planet.
And what about the rebels?
You're with the rebels now. What about them?
Well, they want you. I don't give them you. They end up killing a kid instead, and then I won't have a way in then. They're not going to trust me if we just up and kill them.
What a lovely point. How about this? Bring the two. Let's agree on a location where this ambush will occur. And we'll set up an ambush of our own. Perhaps you pick the location of where you will destroy our convoy, and we will, I don't know, Belsa, help me out here. I can't make all the plans. I'm a busy man. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about right now. I'm hoping you have an answer.
Belsa just spins on her heels and she's like, Otto and I should be standing by to capture the rebels after they blow up the car.
Good. Imagine if we had the news team, who so lovingly came by earlier, escort said convoy as a big story about how the young Moffling is so very afraid for his life after threats delivered by rebel agents against his own life.
I'll make the call.
What if they were to join us on this expedition? Then we could have rebels on film. We could have all sorts of wonderful things. And what we could do then, I imagine, is Belsa.
Sir, are you saying you want me to capture you and then capture them by capturing you and promising to hand you over? I'm trying to, like, make sense of this in my mind. Just like, so this is very complicated.
Faints within faints.
I think Belsa at this point is just like
Baron Harkonnen over here.
Yeah, she's like, her brain is hurting and she just spins around and she's like, okay, listen, we're going to have a convoy. You're going to attack the convoy and kill the Moff's son. We're going to capture the rebels responsible. It's all going to be on TV and then we're going to find out where the rebels are. Do you want me to write it down?
But I know where they are.
Oh my god.
I met with Greece. I was making this so complicated. I just shut up and I look at Theron. I'm like, right, I'll
here's the plan. Here's the plan, dear. Convoy to the shuttle, we get the boy off the planet. He'll be in one of the three. Feel free to blow up all three if you'd like. Maybe I'll be in one. Who knows? No matter what, here's what happens. You attack the convoy. You kill me. You kill the boy. You do whatever. Capture me. Do whatever you need to do. I don't care. Your job is to get in with the rebels. You do that, we'll be fine. Let us worry about the convoy. You do you.
I just, like, slowly pull my mask back up and I just nod.
Oh, thank God.
I ask her to leave the room.
So I do. I turn around and I nod and I say, and I just, yeah, I leave. I look at like the comm because I again am like reminded of the call, but then I just turn around and walk away. I don't speak out.
I turn to Belsa and I'm like, the boy won't be in any of them. The boy will be here where he belongs. I want the convoys filled with all the ammunition we have, rockets, whatever we collected today. I want the stormtroopers nearby. And when she launches her attack, I want you to capture all three of them. Feel free to bludgeon her if need be.
You just see a smile form in Belsa's face and she says, yes, sir. Just walks out of the room.
Yeah. And then I just sort of go back to planning away and contacting the news crew in order to get them to escort the convoy.
Okay. All right. So you want to tell them, like, why it's a news... Why would they think it was newsworthy? Like, that... And it's... When you say convoy, you mean, like, ground convoy? Because normally, like, there's a port here... So if he's leaving the planet, then it's...
Yeah, no, this is the ground convoy to the port to get him off the planet.
Okay.
So remember how we came
down to
the base?
Yep.
Yeah, so we're going to do the exact thing back up to the thing, except, yeah, it's all fake. It's not, none of it's real.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, you go to... Everybody goes to, like, start... building their plans. Otto, you are out of the back to tank. You're back to full back to full health. Terrible.
Yeah.
So outside, we see the slightly like lightening skies of Terrace, and there's a intraplanetary shuttle approaching. We can hear the faint sounds of the Imperial March playing as the shuttle lands on the landing pad on top of the facility, and the door opens, and escorted by a handful of like local troopers, not like stormtroopers, but like the guys in the black uniform with the helmets, we see an old man, he's bent over, walking with a cane, wearing a Moff's uniform, heavily decorated. He's got a thin like chin beard, and he's gone bald on top, and he's comes out of the shuttle and walks back towards the entrance to his palace, I think that we cut to Belsa. I think maybe you're the first person that encounters the Moff Rokot returns. And you're in his like audience chamber. He hasn't really been in. He hasn't been around long enough yet to like do a tour or see his kid. But we cut to him, and you've been like summoned, right? Like one of the stormtroopers got you and was like, "Oh, the Moff's returned. He wants to speak with you." Mm-hmm. And so we see you like coming into the room where he is, okay. And he. He's looking up at that like that big like oil painting of himself in
the dining room thing.
Yeah, so he's just like leaning on his cane, looking up this oil painting as you approach.
Okay, Belsa just walks in. She's like, "Good evening, Moff. How nice of you to join us."
And he turns and looks at you, and he's got this sort of like sneer on his dried up old face, and he kind of looks you up and down, and he looks up at the painting, and he's like. Do you know who it is in that painting, Agent?
Do tell.
It's a painting of me. And do you know why there's a painting of me hanging in the hall of this building, Agent?
And she, like, kind of stifles herself and looks down the ground and looks up. And she says, if I had to go by my gut, I would say your vanity has got the better of you and you no longer value the Empire. However, I shan't say that and I shall hear you out.
He kind of squints at you and he's like, yes, you'd best keep your mouth shut. He like mumbles to himself and he says,
There's a painting of me hanging here because this is my palace, agent. Not yours, not that Fallon's, nor anyone else you've brought here to unseat me. And he kind of like scowls. And he says, I've come back from the factory district to instruct you in cleaning up this mess you've made.
Belsa just kind of like turns to him, looks him in the face, and she says, oh, rest assured, we're going to clean up the mess. And as for the palace, and then she walks towards the door and places one hand on the door and kind of like looks over her shoulder, and she just says, the palace belongs to the Empire, and then just walks out the room.
That's why I like yous. That's why I like yous. That's why you're on the team. Good work, buddy.
All right. So you, yeah, you walk out.
I just notify basically Tharren that the moth is here and he's in the room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And his expectation is that you'll all come and pay your respects and talk to him, and like he'll get to take control because technically he outranks you, but you know. So what do you do? Do you all like go to him, or do you ignore him, or
am I out of the back of the tank?
Yes, yeah, you're all out of the tank and slimed and ready to go.
Okay, yeah,
I'm left the palace. I'm back out in the crowds on the streets.
Okay.
So I'm not there.
On the mean streets.
I'm on the mean streets.
Okay. I go and like get all my attire and stuff, and I guess I just walk over. I find Belsa. I ask the nearest stormtrooper, and they point me to wherever she's at, and I find Belsa and say, "So what happened? What's the plan? Because I haven't been there."
I kind of brief Io on the convoy plan, and how we're going to broadcast that Tharren and the boy are in the convoy. However, they aren't. It's going to be explosives. And then we're going to apprehend the rebels at the scene. And he's going to basically lead the troopers in that feat. And then I tell him that the moth has arrived and he should probably go and pay his respects. And she says, pay his respects, with a lot of sarcasm in her voice.
Otto looks confused because he's not good in the talking ways. Do you want me to kill him? What?
He's not good in the talking ways. He's not good in the talking ways.
The talking way.
Goodness, yeah, no. Just go and say hello.
Understood.
Thank you, Otto. You're looking very well.
I kind of like pull my jacket down. Yes, yes, indeed. I walk out. Go find the moth.
Okay, all right. So, Otto, when you find the moth, he's alone at this like massive dining table. His manservant is there. He's eating a meal. There's a big plate in front of him with what looks like some kind of like slimy like fried hagfish like on the plate. And he's like cutting it with a knife, and it's, you know, it's a rubbery. And so he's like having kind of a hard time of it. And there's a big glass of, some kind of alcohol, like wine sitting next to him.
Okay.
And when you walk in, he looks up and kind of like squints at you. And he says, Sergeant Mateen, come over here, sit down.
I don't really say anything. I cordially walk over there. Sit down.
Yeah, and he gestures to a seat, and his major domo like pulls the seat out for you.
Okay.
And sits you down. And he says, Sergeant Mateen, you're on Hoth, aren't you?
I was.
Because he's like, my brother died on Hoth.
A lot of men died on Hoth.
He nods and he's like, well, every one of them worth the sacrifice, I think. Just one more in a long line of Imperial victories. Like, finally, like cuts through this thing and like jams a piece of slimy like fish into his mouth.
Okay.
Chews it loudly.
I probably like very slowly pull out like a blaster and just have it under the table pointed at him. Just in case anything fucked up goes off.
Nice.
Solo style.
Yeah, yeah.
And he finishes, he swallows and like, he like just leans back and his majordomo like wipes the like slime off his face. And he turns and looks at you And he says, why have you come here, Sergeant Mateen? You and your friends.
That is not my question to answer. You need to talk to Agent
Fallon. I'm asking you, soldier.
I will not give you an answer, sir.
He shakes his head. He's like, I don't know why they put people like you in the ISB. You should be in a stormtrooper helmet standing silently by a doorway somewhere. You're nothing better than a droid.
He's going to kill this man. God damn it.
I kind of just like look off to the side and I look at his, what do you call his manservant?
What was his servant's name? You guys have talked to him before. His name is Assistant Chamra, Zell Chamra.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the guy from the convoy inn.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So that's Chamra. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, he says that, and I just like casually look to say, and without Chamra, sir, you wouldn't be able to wipe your own ass.
And he laughs. He laughs when he said that, and he like chokes a little bit. So he's like, and he like drinks a bunch of the wine, and like spills down his face. And Chamra comes in and like cleans him up. He shakes his head and he's like, "And why would I want to do that when I can pay people to do it for me?" Because maybe if you decide to make a step up in the world, Sergeant, I've got an opening for you to fill. That stared at you.
I kind of turn and say, "An opening, sir?"
He nods and he's like, "Well, I'm always looking for stout men to carry me from the chair to my bed at night. Maybe I'll allow you to press my wardrobe."
That would be a complete waste of my time, sir.
He looks at you and he's like, just as you're proving to be a waste of my time. Get out of my sight. Like waves you away.
Yes, and I slowly put the gun back in my holster. enjoy your food, sir. I walk out of the room.
And as you're walking away, he says, he's like, "Tell my son that I'm home."
I just nod and walk out.
Okay.
And then I don't tell his son that he's home.
Okay, sure.
I just don't deliver that message to anyone.
Yeah, okay.
I go and find Thalon, or Theron, rather. I'm combining a first name and last name. Where are you at, Theron?
In the office still, just going over plans.
Okay. I just, like, walk over, knock on the door. I assume you let me in.
Yeah, I open it thinking it's the moth, but it's actually you, and I'm like, "Oh, hello."
The moth needs to be dealt with, sir.
Yes, that is why we're here. And I sort of just like give him a pat on the shoulder and walk off towards the kids' room in the hopes of talking to the son.
Okay, sure. So you make your way down the hallway to Dade's room, and you can hear him, he's talking to someone. Like he's just, you can hear you can hear half of a conversation, just through the door. It's muffled, but.
Can I roll to see if I can figure out what the conversation is about?
Yeah, definitely. Make a, difficulty one, perception.
Okay. Hold on. Let me clear all this other crap out. All right. Perception. With a P. Okay.
Nice. Yeah, no problem. You're very perceptive.
Thank you.
So he, at first you're like, "Oh, who's he talking to?" And you're trying to figure out like what but he's talking to himself. At first you thought maybe he was talking to his father, but you realize he's just hyping himself up to talk to his father. He's like, he's like, "Welcome home, father." No. "Hello, father." No. "Father, yes, that sounds about right. You have to be strong." And he's like, he's just like muttering to himself and like trying to like prep himself for the conversation he has to have with his dad.
Theron walks in the room.
Okay.
And sort of interrupts him.
Yeah, he's a little startled, and he like turns. He sees you. Scowls a little.
Theron goes and he sort of sits down. Is he on his bed? Is he on a chair?
He's standing in front of a mirror.
Is there something to sit on opposite of him? Or at least
You can go sit on his bed or sit on, he's got like a desk with a chair.
I sit on I sit on the desk because I'm that kind of guy. I sit on the desk and ask him if he's up for seeing his father.
And he scowls at you, and he's like, what do you mean, up for it? Of course. My father's home, and I'm going to go and speak with him.
Theron sort of gives a sigh, and he's like, I'm sorry for how I've treated you. I know I tried to be your friend. I tried to be a parent. I tried to be a mentor, but I don't know how to be any of those. You see, when I was young, my father wasn't there for me either. And when I see you, I'm reminded of what I was as a child, afraid, always eager to approve. And I know he'll never admit such things. You're much stronger than I was, but I see it there inside of you. And I just want you to know that I'm here for you.
You asshole. All right, let's roll deception, because that's a flat out lie, right?
Hell yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's none of that is charm. So, no.
All right. I'm here for you.
I'm here for you, knife. roll difficulty 2. So just put your difficulty dice in. And
okay.
Make still got like some kid's lip blood on your knuckle. Oh man, look, I nailed it.
Papa Talon, just sometimes it's tough love. You know, you got his backhand.
Tough love. Yeah, I don't know how to do it. It's new to me.
All right, so you got it, and you got 2 advantage. So it's not only does he believe the lie, but he's going to like let slip some things that might be of use to you. So you said you can see his like lip quiver a little bit when you're talking, and he like sniffs back like some tears. And he takes a step over to you and says, he nods and he says, thank you, Agent. It's very difficult to be my father's son sometimes. And with things being the way that they are on Terrace, I have appreciated your efforts in the past few days. I will be sad to see you go when your time here is done. And he like takes a deep breath and he says, I would like to have you with me when I address my father for the first time. It would be an honor to have you a part of that conversation.
And Theron stands at attention and he's like, no, sir, it would be my honor.
Yeah, and he smiles like, because he feels like he's finally like getting the subordination from you that he, or the lack of subordination finally from you. And he says to you, he says, you know, ever since mother died, something changed in my father. He became bitter. He used to believe in something once. Believed in the Empire, but he looks down and then he looks at you and he says, can I tell you something, Agent?
Anything, sir.
He kind of like, he looks over at his like, he's his comm pad on the table. And he's like, I was the one who called the Imperial Security Bureau here. And you can see him like he's unburdened that it was like, you know, like I called the secret police on my dad, basically. And he like he hesitates for a second, like as if he's got more to say, but doesn't know if he should say it.
Theron stands at attention, but like he's listening and he sort of like puts his arm on the boy's shoulder. Like, hey, you can tell me, buddy.
And he nods and he says, after what happened with Mother, he became so soft and weak. He had a temper before. He was an angry person, but he got things done. When she died, he lost his spine. He's let the rebel menace grow on this planet for too long. I, I, I couldn't do anything about it myself, and... Well, I'm glad you're here, and I want you to know that whatever it is you have to do, you have my blessing.
Theron looks him in the eyes and says, whatever we have to do, I'm here for you, sir.
And he gives you a little, like, kind of uncertain salute. And he says, well, let's go and have a word with my father.
And then we walk out together, like buddies, like real, like real chums.
Okay. All right. So the two of you head out to go and talk to them off. But meanwhile, in the scum zone, Lana, where do we see
you? Oh, I thought we were just in the scum zone.
I mean, it's everywhere. It's scum all over the place.
Oh,
just kill our parents.
So where do we find you? Are you like at your meeting place?
No, I'm not, because I don't think it's time to meet yet. Instead, I immediately walked out after our meeting with Belsa and Theron. Mm-hmm. And I go out into the city and I comms Greenskin, or I try to.
Yeah, sure. So you reach out to the frequency that he gave you, and a woman's voice comes on over the comm, speaking basic. She's like, what do you want?
I say, this is Lena Jory. I need to speak to Greenskin.
I know who it is. He's busy.
I need to speak to him now.
About what?
About your people walking into a trap.
You're going to have to be more specific than that.
Yeah, you're gonna be more specific than that.
I say no. I need to speak to Greenskin, not you.
Let's get a roll. Let's see if you can coerce her. Let's see, difficulty 2. She's not super like willful.
Hold on, I gotta find my page. What?
Jesse, we need a finger. Cut a finger off, Jesse.
I just love whenever you say Greenskin, chat just posts an orc and it cracks the fuck up another one.
They just smoke it.
Yeah, they smoke it.
Which one is it? Which one?
This rebel just wants wah. Yeah, it's I think, okay, so I mean it depends, right? Like you're trying to get through, you're basically pushing like, this is something, I know something important and you need to like pass me through. I can't tell you, but you're not like, you're not being coercive. You're not threatening her.
Yeah.
So I guess it's probably charm though for you. It's the same. Yeah. Right. Charm and coercion are the same. So, I am going to use a dark side point.
Oh,
for the difficulty. So, add,
one black?
Yeah, add in, it's going to be two purple, or one purple and one red.
Okay, one purple, one red.
Don't you fucking dare use a destiny point for this shit.
let me spend my point here. There you go.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, one purple, one red, and then you roll your charm. Yep. Okay.
Failure with advantage?
Yes. So you fail, but you're bolstered by your bravery, right? You can spend those advantage to burn off some of that strain. You can take away 3 strain if you want. And then let me see if there's anything else that you could do with that. Yeah. I mean, I think you don't get what you want, but you impress her, like her attitude about you generally. Like if you want to spend a point of advantage on that, like she'll be like, oh wow, you're like actually not just getting like pushed around by me. She'll like respect that. It won't help you get to Greenskin, but it'll help you the next time you deal with her. Like, her attitude will change a little.
Okay. Well then I get kind of flustered that she won't let me speak to him, but I say, I'm going to need more people. Basically I'm walking them into a trap. They're setting up a trap. It's a convoy going to the shuttle station. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And we need to go through with it. We need to make it look like we're going through with this plan. But then we need to spin it around on them. They're going to try and make the rebels look like they're going to assassinate them off. And Theron. I tell her this.
Yeah, yeah. So she, you can hear her like kind of processing it, and she's like, "Hold on." So they're going to make it look like we assassinated the Moff because we're going to attack this convoy. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I said.
And so now I was pretty sure that you weren't going to get in touch with us again until you'd killed Theron Talon.
Yeah, well, it's not that easy. Let's just say he has something of mine.
All right, well, your baggage is your problem, sweetheart.
Not anymore. Not if we go through with this. I can still go through with this, make it look like it was the rebels.
She says, take a look around. Just look around you right now.
I don't bother looking around.
Yeah, yeah. So she's like, I mean, we get a shot of you, like we can see, and like you're in the like middle city, right? You called from the middle city, or did you call from upstairs?
I'd say I'm in like a canteen in the upper city.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So outside you can see like a crowd like gathered on the streets. You know, there's noise kind of all around you. Like things are starting to get like a little tense. And she says, it's not going to be long before this place is thanking us for getting rid of the Moff. It's time for a change on Terrace. What you think is going to be blame, I think people are going to see as heroics. So go ahead and frame us.
I don't think you know what they have planned. They have some pretty atrocious things planned, and I can get you Theron.
How?
What do you mean how? I can lure them into the trap. They want to capture and kill the rebels? Frame you guys?
I don't care so much about that part, but having an ISB agent, that's different. How do you plan on doing that?
That's where I need you guys.
What do you need?
I need you guys to make it look like you caught on to the plan. You didn't trust me. Maybe you saw me walking into the palace.
Honey, I don't trust you.
I'd like roll my eyes and like take a moment to like sigh.
Honey, I don't trust you.
Honey, I don't trust you. Listen, I don't need your smart mouth right now. I need you to listen. We need to spin it around on them. We need to make it look like you didn't trust us. You capture me. You capture the people who are coming to get us. If you get me, you get them. But you got to go along with the plan. You got to make it look like you caught on to us.
All right. I'll tell Greenskin. We'll get in touch.
And I just close my comms.
Okay. All right.
And drink.
Yeah.
And drink.
Cool. Okay. So Theron, back in the palace, you want to go have a conversation with the Moff?
Love to.
Okay, cool. Anybody else want to be there for that?
I would say
him and his son, isn't it?
I mean, it could be. Like, he's just hanging out in the main room, and like, if you want to be there, he hasn't talked to everybody yet, so.
I mean, I'll happily be present, just like standing by the door or something.
Yeah, I think I would too, just because I follow Theron around.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Yeah. So you find the Moff. He's in. I think actually this time he's in like his study, and he's he's looking at some hollow documents when you come in, the door opens. And the Moff looks at his son and just kind of like stares at him. And Dade says, "Father," like comes in. He says, "I trust your trip back from the factory district went well." And he kind of scowls and like looks at the rest of you and just ignores the kid. And he looks at you, Theron, and he's like, "Agent Talon.
I believe your son asked you a question, sir."
"Oh, I heard it." And he kind of like looks at Dade and sort of sneers a little bit. Looks back at you. "I want to know what you've been doing here while I was on tour." And he like looks at his kid, looks back at you.
I sit down. So he's just
There's a bunch of like big overstuffed like chairs in this room. There's probably like a, I don't know, like a bantha head or something. Like, you know, it's kind of his like his little like lounge.
I assume, is there like a little thing of alcohol somewhere in the room where I can like decanter it into like glass and drink it?
Yeah, he's got a side bar.
All right, so I go to the bar and start pouring myself a drink, and turn back to him and say, "Doing what you should have done long ago, sir."
He scowls at you and he says, "How old are you, agent?"
Old enough.
He says, "I was in the Imperial Navy before you were born. I've been running ships and planets since you could speak. I don't need you to come here and tell me how to take care of Terrace. This is my planet."
Theron smiles and is like, "If you were old enough to be before I was born, then you were old enough to remember the Old Republic and remember how it fell, how its leaders ceased to care, ceased to control its people. You should remember that too."
Yeah, and he scowls and he's like, "Don't lecture me on history, boy. I remember the Clone Wars." And he like looks around the room. There's all this like historical bullshit all over the place, right? And he's kind of like taking it in, like, "Yeah, you're in my house. Look at all my old stuff."
You said the kid's in here?
Yeah.
So the kid's in here, is his little servant in here?
Yeah, that guy's never not around. Like, okay. He's always.
What is the servant doing at this point?
Trying to be a servant. He's just like saying nothing, trying to blend into the wall so no one notices him.
Okay.
But also he's ready, like if the moth needs a drink.
Yeah. I go over and stand near the servant.
Okay.
That's all I do.
So he continues. He says to you, Theron, he says, "When the credits started to dry up after what happened with that insane Death Star project, I had to make do with what I had available to me. I've been waiting for new troops for months, new ships for twice that long. I've had to make deals with the factory owners, replace my security with droids. This place has gone to hell because the Empire forgot about Terrace. I've done my best with what I have." And when he says that, he looks at his kid like it's his kid's fault somehow. Like his kid is a shitty, like useless replacement, or like he had higher hopes for him or something. Like that angle is definitely as much aimed at like the Empire at large for not supporting him as it is for like his shitty kid for not being less shitty.
I take a sip from the drink and say, "The Empire is here now. We have been sent to help you now. The first chance of aid, the first request we received, we are here now. Shouldn't that be enough?"
He nods and he says, "So then you've brought me ships and security to control this planet, huh? I'm sure there are troop transports on their way right now."
"Our job is to assess whether you need the following. And perhaps you don't. We don't know yet. We don't know the situation. We have no information. You were not here to provide it to us. You were off talking to factory owners, leaving your son here to run things in your absence. A young boy who has not learned how to be a moth from you. He had to learn it from history books."
And he scowls and he looks at his kid and he says, he says, "A poor worker blames his tools, but what choice did I have but to leave the palace in control of this mewling child, milksop boy? He's a coward and weak."
Theron just sort of looks back over at him and points to him and he's like, this boy here is weak.
And the kid is like gritting his teeth and like standing like very tense, like hands clenched into fists.
This boy is not weak, sir. This boy is so strong.
So while they're talking, Belsa, you can feel you can feel the boy's anger. You can feel it. Yeah, you can feel it like welling up in him. Like he's just like trembling. He's not afraid. He's angry.
Can I notice him like doing anything? Not the force shit, but like, is he like ticking or doing anything?
The kid, yeah. I mean, he's got his like teeth clenched. You can see his like the muscles in his neck are like tight. His fists are both like his hands are both curled into fists.
Is he right next to the father?
No, he's standing kind of like across from his dad, sort of near the sidebar where there's like the glasses and the bottles. And
stuff. Okay. As nonchalantly as possible, I kind of want to walk over there and just put a pistol in front of the kid.
It's not nonchalantly as
possible. Nonchalantly, just put a pistol.
Or like walk up to the kid and like put a pistol in his hand and like clasp his hand onto the pistol so that if he wants to take
his
a shot.
His dad is definitely looking at him. Like his dad would see.
Witness that happen.
Okay, yeah. Then I just wait. I just wait. Sorry, Sam. Yeah, if you want to do anything,
you're like tense and ready for action. Sorry. Yeah.
Can I speak to the kid, like telepathically?
Do you have that power?
Yeah, I don't think that's a power that you have. Because you just have foresee, right?
I don't know. I think we level up last time and added a bunch more.
I don't know. Just check. You had XP, but
nonchalantly give him a gun.
You can nonchalantly give a pistol to someone. All right.
Definitely if he wasn't directly in line of sight of the dad, just definitely have given it to him.
No, I'm just gonna let this happen.
Well, then maybe I go and lock the doors. Like just very like nonchalantly, like walk up to each of the door and just like either like type in the data. I don't know what type of doors these are.
You just have to press a button and the little like green light next to the sliding door turns red.
Yeah. I just go over and like shut all the doors, yeah. And then stand back next to the servant.
Okay. All right. So the kid is just like trembling and you everybody notices the tension, but Lana, you feel the like the dark side, its presence here.
Yeah, I just continue saying that this boy's strength prevents him from lashing out at you, sir. Something I know very well I want to do.
So that he laughs when you say that, and he looks at his kid, and he's like, I invite him to try. Come on then, boy. And he like gestures like, do what you're going to do. And you can see like Dade's face like goes red and he's like frustrated and embarrassed. And like, you know, this is a scene that's played out before, right? Where his dad is like been shitty to him and be like, come on, hit me. What are you going to do? And Dade just never been able to.
Theron goes and stands beside him and says...
And nonchalantly gives him a gun. What are you doing, Jesse?
No, I'm not going to give him a gun. He's not giving him a gun, guys. He stands next to him and says, but this time he's not alone.
Okay. So what do you want him to do? Do you want the kid to like feel confident in what he wants or...
I want the kid to feel like he's, you know, whatever, like, go for it, dude. Do what you got to do. If you got to yell at your dad, do it. If you got to beat up your dad, do it. Like, I'm on your side for whatever is coming out of you right now.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I think the dad, like, you stand behind him and he kind of, like, looks at you and, like, nods and takes a breath and says to his dad, he's like, actually, let's see if you, I want to make an opposed roll. You versus the dad, in terms of the weight of like your argument here.
Okay. So what the hell is that?
Let me add him in here. I don't know. I mean, look at your skills. It's like charm or coercion. I mean, not really coercion. We're threatening the kid. But
let's somehow like fuck YouTube on this. Who should roll first? And then we'll take a break, and then we'll have the other person roll.
Sure. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Look at you. Those cliffhangers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're right at the moment, so
we're getting there. Yeah. Okay. So let me see. Do you do you want me to set up the? I mean, it's actually only one roll, so it's on Jesse to roll.
What is it? What am I rolling?
So you'll roll. I think you're gonna roll charm.
Okay.
And the difficulty is going to be his dad's coercion, because his dad is definitely using like threat of violence against you, and you're trying to bolster his.
Okay.
Okay. So what is that on me?
So your difficulty is going to be, let's see, his coercion is based on willpower. He's a pretty willful dude, and he's got some training in coercion. So you're going to be rolling against two purple dice and two red dice.
Holy shit. Okay.
It's going to be a big one.
You should use some points. Use a light side point.
Yeah, might as well. Yeah. That's a hefty roll. So
I say, all right. Let's make the roll, then we'll go to a break and we'll figure out what it means afterwards.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So you're going to use. Now you can use 2 points if you want to, because you could buy a downgrade for me, but I can also spend points too.
No, I'm fine with that.
Okay. All right. I'll spend one of mine as well. So the total then is you put on your side one upgrade.
Yeah.
Put on your side, put a blue die on your side because you've got the whole team, you know, okay, behind you.
Well, three of the team.
And then, yeah, I mean, you've got
Lana's like, the out team there doing backing. Fuck who knows what. You're muted, by the way, Sam.
I was going to say, we're all on the team, let's be real.
That's true.
And then you'll roll yours, and then you're rolling against three red dice and one purple die.
Jesus. Okay.
Be a big one.
Three red, one purple. All right, here we go. God bless. That
was a big roll.
Yeah, this is huge.
Yeah.
What?
What? What?
What?
What?
Do you not understand the roll? That's good. You crit. That's a crit.
You crit. Oh.
Great. Okay. Cool. I thought I just became a Jedi.
Like, no, that's a great Jedi. It happens so rarely that we've all forgotten it. That's yes. You.
I unlocked my latent force powers and choke that's, everyone in the room.
No, great. That's a 20. You did the thing.
There
so
you go.
All
right.
And no disadvantage at all on top of that. So fucking killer. Good hey. Work.
That's actually the best you could have rolled double crit, I guess, but still.
Yeah. But yeah. Doing? Good work.
All right. Let's take a break and we'll figure out the. What the crit means right after this. So don't go. We'll be right back with the fourth final hour here of the dark side. Still have 4 hours for the light side coming up at 6 o'clock Eastern. So stay tuned for that as well. We'll be right back. More bounce power then. We'll see you then.